T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Herbie, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
I've really enjoyed what we've done with the pregame shows before Cubs games now. The pregame shows were usually like 30 to 35 minutes before, and this year we've extended them a little bit. So tonight's game is, what, a 6:10 first pitch, and our pregame will be at 5:10 tonight on The Score. And that gives more time. And having been someone, I think I've done like 15 pre and post over the last couple of years, sitting in for Zach when Zach is sitting in for Pat, like all that stuff. It's one of the most difficult pieces of broadcasting that you can do, because there's a lot of sponsors, because a lot of people want to be involved with Cubs games, and there's not a lot of time. So you're kind of cycling through all of these elements inside the game so that you can get to the game. It's a manager show. It's the, let's go inside the clubhouse. Let's do this. All of these things, and there's an attachment to each of them. There isn't really a rhythm that one can get outside of it feeling very mechanical. I think Zach's really good at handling all of those things, even when it was a shorter version of this. I bring all of that up to say that I really like that the pregame has been extended, because the elements that are inside the pregame can go on a little longer and we can get more stuff, so that if Coombe is doing an interview, he doesn't have to cut it short. He can let it linger. Shout out to the Cranberries. If he wants to. I ran into this last night. Ordinarily, I don't listen to a lot of pregame stuff if I'm not like a part of a broadcast. But I was listening to Len interview Jeff Passan. The whole interview was really, really terrific. I mean, it was, because Jeff Passan is just great, and he's been at the forefront of the reporting on everything that's been going on in Major League Baseball. And we used to have him on all the time when he wasn't working for ESPN. Anyway, I'm sure that he's like, oh, Cubs pregame? I'm down with that. So he and Lynn had this really cool, like, conversation. It was less like Q&A and more of two guys who love baseball talking about the state of baseball. What I found interesting and what I wanted to bring back to you was the last couple minutes of this interview, because I think it's important that we keep all of this stuff in mind when we are talking about a sport that still has games that are not being played because players have tested positive for Corona. And I know that the Marlins have gotten them. They're winning baseball games with guys that the manager doesn't even know who they are and all that stuff. But there's a lot to digest from this conversation that Lynn and Jeff had. the portion that I want to play for you starts with Lynn talking with Jeff about whether or not he thinks the season will conclude.
I have a different answer for this every day. And I've increasingly found myself becoming a prisoner of the moment when it comes to this question. It's almost like how all of us are dealing with the pandemic. I feel like one day we think to ourselves, you know, it's going to be okay. And then another day it's like, oh, God, no, maybe not. And with baseball, I see the same thing. You know, when there's an outbreak like the Marlins or the Cardinals, it just makes me think, oh, this is doom. They can't do it. But now the Cardinals are back traveling and look like they're going to be playing against the Cubs this weekend. And the Marlins are back and have a 7-5 winning percentage going into today and, you know, would be a playoff team right now. And I'm like, okay, well, maybe they can do this. So I hate not to assign a percentage. I just feel like it would be the biggest shot in the dark, wild guess of a percentage. I think it's either 100 or 0. I don't think you can have an in between. This is a binary. Is it going to happen? Is it not going to happen? At this point, I think with Major League Baseball illustrating that it is willing to push through outbreaks to get games played, I would say that I would lean toward yes, the season's going to be played to its conclusion.
Could there be more opt-outs from guys nervous about the virus but who are playing to win a ring who in 2 weeks find themselves on a team that's basically out of it?
Len, not only do I think the standings are going to play a role in players opting out, I think the standings are going to play a role in players abiding by protocol. And that, to me, is the biggest issue and one that Major League Baseball has to deeply consider. Is if not entirely stopping games from being played by teams that are technically out of it, then just readjusting the schedule to perhaps put those non-contending teams playing against one another. If you're not going to be in the playoffs this year and teams are asking you to essentially lock your life down and these are 20 and 30-something typically quite wealthy young men with disposable incomes and active social lives, and all of that has been taken away. If you're not playing for a ring, all of that being taken away might not register quite as well. There are a lot of questions, I think, going forward. And that, to me, is the greatest threat to the season. It's players on non-contending teams and personnel on non-contending teams potentially breaking protocol.
Yeah, so there's a lot there that I would like to unpack with you for a few minutes, especially when Passan is talking about the way that goes for teams that are out of it, the teams like the Pirates that you know that are trash are not in the Royals that aren't going anywhere. And I add this to that conversation. This is from Jared Diamond. MLB and the MLBPA have agreed to changes to the operations manual starting tomorrow, meaning today. Staff and players must wear face coverings over their nose and mouth at all times and in all places in the stadium except for players on the field. This includes the dugout and bullpen everywhere. Herbie, I know that you've had some frustration with Darryl Boston in this regard, because he seems to be wearing it below his nose for some reason.
Yeah, I'm like, why wear one? Just if you're going to wear it correctly, or don't wear it at all.
Correct. And this is why I've been such a big proponent of the gator mask. It's easy to function with. Rossi is really good about that. Like, he's almost wearing it all the time, even while he's managing. It's easy. It's an easy thing to do.
And through these three games, I've seen Brock Holt wear it all the time.
Like, yep.
While he's batting, while he's on the field, while he's on the bases. It seems like it doesn't slip. And you're also selling the team, and you can sell some merchandise, too.
There's no doubt about it. I went for a 15-mile ride today. I took my mask. When I got to Soldier Field, I took my mask down to have a drink and then put it right back on and headed back south. The part that does scare me, and it connects a little bit to something I was talking about yesterday, was Jeff talking about, hey, these are men with disposable income and and a social life and all of these things. That's how we're talking about major league players who are invested in the continuation of their sport. That even with those things in mind, we have to allow for them breaking protocol because they're bored and the games that they could end up playing in don't count. So I want to go back to what I was saying yesterday about college athletes and how we need to be more comfortable with understanding that when you put college students together, they're going to be together. They're going to group up. They're going to click up. They're going to have sex with each other. And these are things that we're putting upon the athletes to say, well, you better just have more discipline. And if football means something to you, then you'll. And here you have one of the more decorated baseball reporters saying that this is the type of stuff that could even happen for people with literally millions to lose if things get shut down. In some cases, human nature is hard to overcome, and I just want to make sure that we are giving the same amount of space to 18-year-olds that we are giving to 30, 35-year-olds. Most of the players are younger than 30, but you understand what I'm saying. Let's make sure that we are as compassionate and as forward-thinking, being like, oh, yeah, I mean, that totally makes sense. With the 18-year-olds who we are asking to go and make this money for everyone involved except for themselves, when we have to talk this way about people that are literally have money on the line for themselves. The other part of this is a simple criticism. And that criticism is, shouldn't this have been the mandate the whole time? This one doesn't seem like a difficult one. If you're on the field, you don't have to wear your mask, but you probably should. But you don't have to. If you're in the dugout, put your damn mask on. Because throughout this thing, the support staff, you've seen the support staff of every baseball team, like they're all in their mask pretty much the whole time. It just feels like there was so much stuff that Major League Baseball missed. That they missed in all of this stuff. But now I'm watching the Twins play the Pirates right now on MLB Network. And it looks like guys are adhering to the new mandate. Like I'm looking at a shot right now inside of the Pirates dugout. And guys have their gator mask on. I feel like someone owes me some money for that, Herbie. Like, for real. I think so. I feel like I was on an island with this. It makes all the sense. You get to sell your product. So we'll see if Major League Baseball can continue to function. It is interesting. Like now I guess there is talk that the Big East and the Big Ten are – Jeff Goodman was reporting this, that they might enter into a basketball bubble with each other. I know Chicago, since DePaul is a Big East town, it would honestly, like, at Wintrust, it – oh, wait, or is the Wintrust completely given over to the NBA Delete 8 people? Is that a done deal, or are we still just talking about that?
I was reading Joe Colley's article today, and it seems like that is pretty much squashed, the Delete 8 thing.
Okay, well, good, because then the Big East and the Big Ten can just play at Wintrust because there's that that hotel that's right there, and they could bubble in, and they could just do the damn thing if they have the damn thing to do. All right, I have run out of time to do the fun stuff from the broadcast. I promise you we will get to it before the show is over because it made me smile and laugh, and it allowed me to continue to enjoy why the Cubs broadcast team is a lot of fun. But we are going to talk with Gabby Williams of the Chicago Sky coming up, and I have a lot of questions for her. We're going to do that next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Here on the score. I'm happy that you guys answered the call when we brought this up on the show yesterday via the text line. By the way, the Tech Zone is brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time, shop online at rosenhyundai.com. And that allows me to also tell you that we are broadcasting live from the Score Hyundai Studios in my basement. Brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. And don't worry, Brian Gerch, I'm working on the Twitch angle so that people can invade my privacy. And you can watch the show on Twitch. I'm not sure I have enough bandwidth, though. But that's something that we're going to work towards. Any hoozle. Yesterday, we were talking about the White Sox and them sending people to Schaumburg, and we have dubbed them the Schaumburg Boys. So I threw out to you what type of band is the Schaumburg Boys and what type of music do they play. And a lot of people had some great stuff on the text line and on Twitter. I will get to that in a little bit, and I will also share the really funny thing that happened inside the Cubs broadcast booth. But before we do that, I'm excited to have Gabby Williams on the show. Chicago Sky are off to a great start, 4-1. They're inside the bubble at the IMG Academy, and there's a lot to unpack when it comes to being in a bubble. She joins me now on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford has 500 new and used vehicles for you to choose from out in Melrose Park, or you can go to alpamonteford.com. Gabby, thanks so much for joining me.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Walk me through like what your initial like feelings were once we knew that this was going to be a go and you guys were going to have to move down into the bubble.
It was a bit of panic, I think, from everybody because, you know, not playing basketball for 4 months, we were worried about our bodies and our health and if we were going to be ready. And we were also nervous about, of course, the virus and if we were going to be safe. And then on top of that, all of our minds were focused on fighting social injustices, so it was a really difficult decision to decide to come here.
Yeah, you guys are juggling a whole lot of stuff, and I'm not sure that the WNBA gets enough credit for being a leader, a thought leader, when it comes to the idea of protest and fighting for causes. So why do you think that it's something that has been so important to the players around the WNBA to put your money where your mouth is and be upfront about some of these things that you care about?
Yeah, we were definitely focused on making physical, tangible change and controlling what we could control. Because a lot of times we see these things where it's a T-shirt or it's, you know, just on social media and it's very performative. So I think WNBA players took it upon ourselves to take action.
I mean, that's the dope part about it that you do. And it seems to be a league-wide thing. Like, I enjoy the fact that you guys are like, hey, we might have to get a little political on people. And we're going to put these shirts on and tell people to vote and tell them maybe a little bit how to vote. When those types of discussions happen inside, your locker room or your team in particular. How do they go? How do you guys go from an idea to an action statement?
Well, it's funny that you say that because, to the outside world, it may seem political, like we're playing politics, but in reality, it's livelihood. So, you know, we're having these conversations because we're worried about our health. We're worried about people who look like us. We're worried about violence towards us. We're worried about further oppression and further marginalization. So it's not hard to think of ways to combat that because we're facing it on so many different levels. So to the world, it may seem like we're playing politics, but really we're just, this is a way of life for us.
Yeah, but how do those conversations go? Mm-hmm. Like, because it's one thing to be like, hey, I have this idea, and then everyone kind of agree on what the next step is.
Yeah, I think these conversations, they start with ideas. We start with what we're most passionate about. We always start about, okay, what are you worried about the most? What frightens you? What do you want to fix? You know, what touches your heart? And then we find our best way to be efficient, which is always being unified. So I think that's why you see these things league-wide.
Is it difficult knowing that there is scrutiny on what your message may be to then focus and play ball?
No, because we know that this is necessary. We have to have these uncomfortable conversations, and we have to change what the narrative is in order to see progress. If we just keep going with what everyone's comfortable with, if we only focus on basketball, then it will continue to just be the distraction that it was, which we don't want.
What did you think of what Maya Moore has done over the last couple years? You could make the argument that she's the greatest player that's ever lived, and she walked away at mm-hmm. the height of her powers to do something that was really important to her. How did you personally feel about it, and what have players around the league said about that level of leadership?
Well, not only has she, you know, helped someone who was wrongly convicted, but she also set a great example for the entire world. That yes, she is the greatest basketball player, you know, arguably to play the game of women's basketball. And she stepped away from that because she put who she was as a person first, which is the big thing with athletes is people forget that we're citizens too, that we fight these battles off the court. And Maya just set that example and showed the world like, hey, we're Black before we're basketball players.
It's so crazy to me that she was – like, it's one thing for all of us, like, whenever we get involved in things that we are passionate about, like, seeing tangible change is really difficult because a lot of these things that we're talking about, the issues are so big, whether we're talking mm-hmm. about educational equality, whether we're talking about Black Lives Matter, or we're talking about treating people properly. Those things, trying to find progress in them is sometimes hard. Her being able to say, look, I am focused on this particular case, and I'm going to do everything I can to try and help this man have his conviction overturned, I found it incredibly inspiring. And I felt for obviously I felt for him, like giving away his freedom for as long as he did. But I also felt for her that it was something that she was able to accomplish. And there's a receipt of I went and worked hard for this, and look what happened. Something positive actually came out of it.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. She's showing that, you know, with the right fight, that you can make change, that you can make tangible change and do it as an athlete. And she used her platform, you know, in the best way possible, I think. And on top of that, she educated people on all the wrongs with our American prison system. So not only did she get this man out of jail, but she probably opened the eyes to a lot of people of what actually goes on in our judicial system.
Talking with Gabby Williams of the Chicago Sky. The Sky play tonight on ESPN2 at 9 o'clock if you want to check out what's happening with the 4-1 Sky. Do you think that if you weren't playing, like let's say you were playing in Europe like your whole career, do you think mm-hmm. that you would be as active in the things that you care about as you are in the WNBA, because there's an incredible like support system of people that are helping to amplify everyone's voice?
So you're asking if I didn't play overseas, would I still?
No, I'm saying like if your career was taking place overseas, do you think that you would be as active?
For sure. I think I would. I mean, I'm actually half French. And so playing in France this year, there's a lot of I was aware of, you know, the issues that and the racism that go on in France as well. So I'm sure if I was playing there, I would probably be just as not as active if I was playing in a country where I didn't have family ties. I don't know. I would try. I would always try to learn and try to listen. And I always try to embrace the culture whenever I go to a different country. So that's a great question.
Your teammate, Stephanie Dolson, she was pretty public about what her family went through with COVID. Has she talked to you guys mm-hmm. about what it was like?
Yeah, she's actually my roommate here in our villa in the Wobble. And she did. And she talked to us about it and told us, you know, told all the stories about what she went through. And none of us except for Sid have had it or experienced it. So I think we learned a lot from her.
Yeah. So I imagine that to have that in front of you made it even more important mm-hmm. that you guys made sure that when you're going to IMG, that everything was on point. When was the point where you felt like you were satisfied that the WNBA had done enough that you guys were okay with moving in?
I think it was after their second proposal, and the union and the league both did a great job negotiating that and what we would have and not have in the Wobble. I think we came to a good compromise, and we knew that it was going to be a risk to come here. But, you know, we had bigger dreams and bigger plans for the season. We wanted to use this as an opportunity to amplify our platform and to speak on the issues we want to speak on, and having this Wobble is perfect for that. So we knew it was going to be a bit risky, but we think it was a great compromise at the end of the day.
What's the best part of being in the Wobble, and what's the worst part?
The best part is not having to travel, because you know, we still have travel commercial and stuff, so it can be really rigorous, you know, and hard on our bodies. The worst part is it's a bit claustrophobic. And I just miss driving in my car. No, actually, I take that back. The worst part is that we can't have pets, because I miss my cat more than anything.
Oh, how long have you had a cat?
She'll be 3 in October.
That's great. Oh, that's awesome. So who's watching the cat?
Yeah. She's with grandma. She's with my mom right now.
Okay. All right, cool. that's good that you got a place to put her, for sure. I see that you're advancing your game a little bit, that you're stepping out and taking threes a little bit more. What got you comfortable doing that?
I mean, we've been working on it a little bit last year, and once I got to France, our head coach, James, you know, put me with our trainer in France who worked with our team there, and we were just getting reps up all the time. And the thing was, I just had to get comfortable with missing before I could figure out how to make it, and that was the thing, is I never shot because I didn't want to miss, so... Once I got over that, got my confidence going, and then now coming here and working with our assistants, Olaf and Emre, they've really got my shot right. So all the credit to them.
I know that this hasn't been an issue for you this season, because you guys have done a great job, but when you first got into the league, how in the world did you adjust from all the winning that you did in college versus, like, losing games in the WNBA?
Yeah, it was bizarre, and it was bizarre that I got used to it. You know, I'd only lost 3 games in my 4 years at UConn, and then I think we went like 2-5 or something, like the first 7 games my rookie season. So I had lost more games in 1 week than I had in 4 years, and it was weird that I was just used to it. But I'm glad. I think the culture of us, of the Chicago Sky, has changed, so now those losses feel rare again.
What's James like? I've had him on the show. He seems he loves basketball. I can tell you that from having my conversation with him. What's it like to play for him?
We can really tell that he loves the game and that he really cares for us too, as players and as people. And that's the best part about, I think, the way he coaches, is that at the end of the day, I always know that he has our back. And he'll be the biggest one against you, but then the biggest one rooting for you too. So That's just kind of the culture that he's created here.
I had Allie Quigley on the show a few weeks ago, and we were talking about her playing horse, and she went to DePaul, I went to DePaul, so I've been a fan of hers mm-hmm. for a long time. I also asked her about what it's like to play with your wife, like being a married couple on the team. So what's it like for you guys to have a married couple on the team?
We're used to it. Again, I live with those two here in the Wobble too, so it's kind of funny that we were like, oh, like, should we give them alone time? But they actually enjoy spending time with us as much as they do alone. And I don't know, we don't think about it that much. Sometimes it's funny when they bicker, but I don't know. It's not something that's really talked about much.
Yeah, you read my mind. Like, that's the thing that I thought about. Like, when is an argument between them basketball and when is it not? Like, that to me is kind of fun. But they're so great, and Sloot is such a great passer. I don't know if people even understand, like, how good she is at finding teammates. So I'm guessing when you're on the court, you have to be aware, because at any time the ball could be coming your way from any angle.
Right, I mean – She reads the floor so well. She's definitely the best point guard I've ever played with, I think, you know, in the world right now. And, you know, she just makes it so much easier for us as players. Just when she's on the floor, just having her presence there just makes the offense so much better.
I know that you were really supportive of some of the things that Kyrie Irving said. I think it's cool that the NBA players overall seem like they're pretty supportive of the WNBA product. So what does that mean for you to know that it seems like those guys care about you guys succeeding and being treated well?
Yeah, I think it's something that you see, especially with this like next generation of NBA players. I don't think it's something that we've really seen in the past. So I really got to give props to them and how much they've grown and realize that we're all on the same team. You know, we're not competing. We're not trying to degrade one or the other. Like, we are all in this together, and if we work together, we can have the best product possible. So I'm going to be just as supportive to my brothers in the NBA as they are to us.
Yeah, I got to get myself the logo is dope, and I got to get a logo hoodie because I just feel like that's a cash cow right there. That's something that you can walk around shy with and feel really good walking around the city with. Good luck tonight against Phoenix. Yeah. I'm very much looking forward to having you on the show again. This was fantastic.
Thank you for having me.
That is Gabby Williams. She plays for the Chicago Sky. That was fun. I don't know if I could do the bubble, man. I mean, obviously, like, at this point. Although, maybe I could. I'm an old man. There's pretty much just working home for me anyway at this point. Maybe I'd be the ideal person to live in a bubble.
Well, when the NFL goes all Loho Wars and goes across the pond, you're going to be the first person they're going to ask to be covering.
They should have asked me 3 months ago when I had the idea. I guess they're going to start cycling people out, though. Like, I don't think Malika Andrews is going to be there the entire time, because I would imagine that one might go crazy being there the entire time. You need human companionship, and you need to be able to walk around and all that stuff. But I don't think I could handle that, because, I mean, really would be a very Spartan existence. It's work and back to the room, work and back to the room. But the Sky will be on tonight, 9:00. You can check them out on ESPN2. It'll be part of the rotation of things that I watched tonight. I watched AEW for a few minutes. AEW last night for a couple of minutes. I was intrigued. I think I'll do a Loho Daily about that, watching a little bit of wrestling. We had Cody Rhodes on the show. He's an incredible interview. Maybe I'll pull that and throw it onto House of L. Oh, speaking of which, there is a House of L. I didn't want to eat up the time of the show talking about all the things that go into me leaving NBC Sports Chicago. So on my podcast, House of L, I talked about it. I also have a YouTube page, the House of L YouTube page, and you can see me talking about it if that's your preferred way of consumption on something like that. So it's available for you right now, wherever you get your podcasts. Like, we're on Apple, Stitcher, Google Play Music, which I heard is getting ready to get rid of podcasts, which kind of sucks. And we're on Spotify. So I would say go check it out. And if you wanted to know, like, some of the inner workings, like how they got to that spot and what I think happens next, it is all on that episode of the pod. We need to take a break. There was one great piece of television that did happen on NBC Sports Chicago that we're going to share with you. And I promised you, Pat, Ron, and Zach, and damn it, you're going to get it next here on The Score. So here are your nominations for what type of music the Schomburg Boys, if they were a band, they would play. Cole Wright said they sound like an LFO knockoff. Ronnie tweeted at me and said, strictly 80s Billy Joel music. Ray says, a polka band. No one said EDM. I kind of like, I in my mind, I'm thinking the Schomburg Boys are EDM collective. They do like a light show and they DJ. Think Dante, but bad at his job. Because Dante's, like, really good at his job. This guy says the Schomburg Boys are a tag team from the 80s. That's not what I asked you, sir. Follow the rules. Mark says, I don't know what kind of music they would play, but they will be wearing polos, khakis, and Vans. Matt chimed in with, they would sound like Creed. And no, I would not buy their music. Dan says a mid-70s Chicago-style band, like the band Chicago. A lot of big horns. Lloyd said their first album would clearly be called Straight Outta Shompton, of course. Gunther said they'd sound like the clown noise from the Murph Show. Herbie, is that anywhere in the vault? Or does Chris Tannehill have that hiding somewhere?
I'll check.
This text says a Sinatra cover band fronted by Mike North and John Cass. I don't think either one of those guys can sing. John says, I think I saw them at the Snuggery in 1988. That's a good pull right there. This guy says, hey, forget about Straight Outta Shompton. Their first album is called West of 53 Story. It's good. It's really good. So thanks for having fun with that. That was fun. Sometimes we get stupid on this show. And it's good. Speaking of being silly, last night I'm driving around Greektown. And I'm listening to the Cubs game because I like to go back and forth and see what the broadcast sound like, see if there's anything fun I can share. And I thought I would share this with you because at the time I texted Zach to talk about this subject. And you'll hear why these guys are so great at being around each other. This is Pat, Ron, and Zach talking about how this pandemic has really, really hampered their haircut game.
Darvish, with long black hair flowing out the back of his blue Cubs cap, delivers down low for a ball. You, like a lot of us, probably has not visited many barbershops or salons to get that hair taken care of during the pandemic. I know I've been doing some self-styling, if that's what you call it. Do you cut your own hair, Ron? It's a very personal question. I really hate to start a series on a note like this, but do you?
That'd be a no. No, I do not.
Now, I believe Zach Zaidman does. Here's the pitch on the way to Darvish. Swing and a miss. Strike three. Good slider got him. And that's out number one. Now, Zach Zaidman, I believe he told us the other day that he did some self-styling. Isn't that true, Zach?
Yeah, I don't know if I would call it styling. It was via necessity.
Now, I have a friend, Pat, in my old neighborhood in Chicago, Edna. She cuts my hair ever since I've been back. Right in Archer Avenue, not far from, 10, 15 minutes from here, we could get you all lined up, social distance, and then let her cut your hair, and we could come here to the ballpark if you like that kind of styling.
I'll certainly keep that in mind, and thank you for bringing it up as Jorge Soler is batting and takes down low. No score, bottom of the first. It is a funny feeling, though, to cut your own hair. I will say that. Here's the pitch on the way. Soler takes a strike. I'm sure I'm not the only one during these last few months.
Oh, yeah, for sure. We laughed during the time that we were off. Zach and I and Tommy Thayer were doing these shows every Sunday, and my hair just kept growing bigger and bigger and bigger.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of felt like a chia pet, one of them.
And the pitch to Soler, a swing and a smash on the ground, a third glove by Bryant. He's never been confused with a chia pet, and he throws out Soler, and that's out number two. Two gone, no score, bottom of the first. And the batter is Ryan O'Hearn.
Yeah, and Tommy Thayer had no idea what I was talking about.
He hasn't had to deal with the issues that we've had to deal with during the pandemic.
Now, Zach mentioned the other day, as O'Hearn steps in, scoreless game, bottom of the first, Zach mentioned something as he was cutting his hair about putting a bowl, some kind of a, I believe it was either a salad bowl or a cereal bowl on his head and then cut around the bowl. I tried it today, and I wish you would have said you put it upside down.
Oh, yeah, that could be a real problem, partner.
It was. Mm-hmm. Here's the pitch on the way to O'Hearn, and it's in there for a strike in the count 0-1.
Were any of your daughters around when you were doing that?
No, and there's no video documentation either, thank goodness.
Pat, again, you look great on the radio. I just want to let that be known.
I'm not sure if I should say thanks or not as O'Hearn waits.
You should not say thank you. That was not meant as a compliment. I love those guys. They have so much fun together, and they make it fun for you as a listener to be involved in the game. And Pat, just the fact that he can still like keep track of what's happening and realize that he's looking at a slider, it's really, really great. So there's that. And then let me go to NBC Sports Chicago real quick, because I remember being on these airwaves and I remember telling people, you know, there's a lot of people inside the White Sox clubhouse that don't really like Nick Swisher. And people are like, oh, how could you dare say that? Herbie, run Ozzie, please.
You know, the Houston Astros, if they had played their cards right, they could have had Adrian Hauser and Josh Hader on their team. They were both a part of the Astros. They traded both of them and...
No, they get.
And Domingo Santana to the Brewers for Mike Fiers and Carlos Gomez in 2015.
Carlos Gomez, the
center fielder.
You know what? One of the best tools I ever see. Well, that kid is, you know, I remember the guy say, remind me of Ricky Henderson. I said, what? Ricky Henderson, well, he was 90. But I like the way he played. All the song, he got a swagger. I know what's into it.
Yeah, I loved him with the Twins.
He played good for the
Twins. Actually, I hated him with the Twins, but I respected him.
Yeah, but he was with the Mets. He signed with the Mets.
That's right.
That trade, yeah. But it's always being a good player. All the song, the swagger, the people love
him. He was all swagger.
I hate it. Yeah. I couldn't stand it.
Who did you dislike more, Carlos Gomez or Nick Swisher?
Oh, my God. Nobody can compare that with Nick Swisher. I hate Nick Swisher with my heart.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. You want to get into that a little more or no?
No, not really, but I think he hit me back. That's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I can't.
You guys just didn't get along. Didn't work out.
No. I know. I never talked to him. I was managing him, but I don't like the way his attitude was all fake.
Yeah.
And I don't like fake people.
All right.
Ozzie is... the truth! Oh my God, he is the best. I kept trying to tell people that fake hustle stuff. There are a lot of people in that clubhouse that did not like that Nick Swisher stuff at all. Thanks to our guests on the show, Gabby Williams from The Sky. She was great. I hope that she comes back on the show. And Jay Zawoski, he's always welcome on this show too. Thanks for listening. Hit up the House of L podcast. I think you'll find it interesting. I did a whole thing on how my teammates on the football after show, I compared them to characters from Marvel. I think you'll enjoy that, along with me talking about the business aspect of it. Have a wonderful day. McNeil and Parkins are coming up next. I got my text from Shep. Oh, Pat McGann's going to be on at 3. So make sure you listen to that, and John Weideman will be on at 3:40. Talk to you tomorrow at noon here on The Score.
Bye-bye. Oh, you tripping. I'm out of here anyway. Peace out.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.